Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters is going to happen today when you listen to James Connor and talking about his book, Super Yogi Scenario. But I'm here to say that this book is full of ancient teachings as well as hilarity and the superhero model. And I don't know, James Connor, can you actually fly? I know meditators claim they can fly. Welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be here with you, Veronica.
Oh, I'm glad that you're here. And I think most of us need to combine sort of adventure with a lot of this inward, because we're trying to evolve as a species, right? And
Absolutely.
in your book, I am just deeply grabbed by being on the edge of evolution all the way through, which is what cities do. Do you want to tell people about a little bit about yourself, and did you study the cities?
Let me give the readers some context.
Okay.
So the Super Yogi Scenario is a fiction novel, and it is a new take on the superhero story. So
Okay.
instead of supernatural powers coming from lab mishaps or spider bites, powers
We know that one, yeah.
yeah, we've seen that. Powers are going to come from yoga and meditation, as described in the Yoga Sutra and Buddhist texts from early centuries. So the thing that makes the Super Yogi scenario such a different experience is it takes these authentic teachings and shows exactly how supernormal abilities emerge. And that way, people can look at this and kind of explore really what makes someone a hero and what makes someone a villain, and what we can all do to develop our own unique abilities to make this world a better place.
And we keep hearing about ascension. You know, a lot of us in the metaphysical world have been hearing about ascension for a long time. And I really think that, you know, not only as I read this, but other things as well, is that ascension is really that ability to move out of the 3D kind of confinement, isn't it? And that's kind of what your superpowers is talking about.
Well, it's getting at some very deep philosophical wisdom. And that's one of the things that I wanted to do with the Super Yogi scenario. It's a thriller, it's a page turner, it's a fun read. And in between, it slow drips wisdom from authentic texts that really reveal these incredible transformations of mind. You asked earlier, had I studied for a long time? And yes, I have. For 12 years, I studied with really heavyweight Buddhist lamas and studied with gurus in the Shivananda lineage, the yoga lineage. And then, after incredible in-depth study, I did a 3-year isolated meditation retreat to really kind of be a spiritual test pilot and just see how far I could take meditation. And so I wanted to give people a taste for some of the things, transformations of heart and mind that happen when you meditate. And so from doing meditation retreats, this metaphor of superheroes kept coming up. And so that's what I used in the Super Yogi scenario.
I just remember when TM was a really first announced as a, you know, a new thing in the US and so on, and a lot of the people that were really into it were literally able to fly, or they bounced, or they moved off the ground, right?
You know, what's interesting is when you look at the Yoga Sutra, the Yoga Sutra was written by Master Patanjali around 200 AD. And it's the root text for all the yoga lineages. And you can basically divide the Yoga Sutra into four main chapters. The first chapter is why you need to meditate. All the important transformations of mind and heart happen at deep levels of meditation. The second chapter is cool practices that support good meditation, like the physical asana poses we all know and love, and like not harming people. And then the third chapter is the chapter on mystical powers. And this is all the supernormal abilities that happen at the higher levels of meditation. And so you have this text where 11% of the verses are instructions for how people fly in the sky, how people read minds, how people become invisible. And so it's fascinating because you not only see it in the Yoga Sutra, but over the last 25 centuries, all the major meditation texts talk about when these experiences start to emerge, why they emerge.
So it's not new. It's not a new thing.
No, I think the new thing is to be here in the Western world and suddenly see these translations of these amazing meditation texts and see where there's instructions for how people walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
And all these profound miracles that have been performed historically. And so the super yogi scenario takes a what if and says, well, what if these powers start to emerge again among Western practitioners of yoga and meditation?
Now, you said emerge again. Have there been phases in history that we think of that they were prevalent or really a big deal?
There are so many really well-supported, really well-witnessed cases of major lineage holders throughout the Buddhist lineage, throughout the yoga lineage, that have performed what looks like miraculous deeds.
Mm-hmm.
What I find fascinating is so many of these historical figures wrote books, wrote texts, wrote instructions, wrote teachings. And in many of them, they explain exactly, precisely, the cause and effect for these particular abilities. Now, they always come with warnings.
Okay.
You know, when these things start to emerge, are you going to use them to serve other people? Or are you going to use them for your own selfish purposes? And so that's one of the big narratives of the super yogi scenario. One of the big themes, you know, some characters are overcome by their abilities and start to turn to become selfish.
And that's others, because they're upset and hurt and destroyed for some reason or another and want to have vengeance, right?
That's a big motivator.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly the motivator of the main villain, Physique, in the story. And she has a very interesting sort of character arc.
Mm-hmm.
The third chapter of the Yoga Sutra is about how these supernormal abilities develop. The fourth chapter of the Yoga Sutra says, don't get stuck there.
Okay.
Go on to purify all the negativities in the heart and mind. Go on to end all suffering. So in many ways, the super yogi scenario...
You mean not just for yourself, right? For everyone, for the world.
For everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica, what you're saying is the most important thing, because it's not powers that make someone super. It's putting other people first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have a wonderful section, and this is like about more than a third of the way into the book, where you're talking about doing good deeds and how did you put it? It's like in the character's voice, it was like you can create your map through the good deeds. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I thought that was really poignant.
This is an important piece of wisdom. The main idea in the Yoga Sutra is that we misunderstand where reality comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we suffer. It opens with this incredible, beautiful verse. The second verse says, Yogesh Chitta Virdhi Nirodha. Yogesh is yoga, Chitta is mind, Virti is to twist. Yeah, and Nirodha means stop. So the purpose of yoga is to stop how the mind twists things around.
Okay.
All right, and let's try to experience this for a second. I ask you and your listeners, just picture someone that you love and thinks has wonderful qualities.
Okay.
Does everyone see that person the same way?
Not at all.
Very good. And that's an easy one to see. So what that means is that person that appears outside isn't broadcasting themselves in the same way to everyone. You have unique causes in your heart that cause you to see them as someone you love and someone you think has magnificent qualities.
Right.
There is a beautiful interdependence between subject and object. There might be something there. There might be a person there, but you never see it. You only see your person.
Mm-hmm. But you said interdependence, and doesn't it refer to the fact that Buddha talked about interdependence? And then you're also writing about how everything has to do with the relationship between you or the seer or whatever, and whatever it is you're looking at. And that's subjective, right?
Yes, yes, it is. When you look at that interdependence and just that little thought experiment that we briefly did.
Yeah, which is about a person and a relationship with that person, right?
Yeah, you see them one way, other people see them another way.
Mm-hmm.
It means that in essence, they are a blank screen of unlimited potential. And if you have certain causes in your heart, you experience them as being wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is this incredible relationship between cause and effect and how we experience our world. And all the supernormal abilities share this one diamond sliver of wisdom. When you realize if you put certain causes in your heart, you're going to experience the world in a certain way. And so it's possible by just cultivating love and compassion and equanimity.
Or even understanding.
For everyone,
mm-hmm.
you could experience this world as heaven on earth.
Hmm.
And that's what the Yoga Sutra is getting at. That's what the wisdom in the super yogi scenario is getting at. There's a beautiful verse in the Yoga Sutra that I use in the book. It's from chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "There is a connection of cause and effect. The seeds ripen into experiences, refreshingly pleasant or painful in their torment, depending on whether you have done good to others or done them wrong instead."
But that could be other lives too, couldn't it? I mean,
that is a very it's the time lag mm-hmm. that gets us in trouble because we don't realize what we do today may show up much later in our lives. But it's interesting because we understand this when it comes to things like education. You know, like we start with kindergartners and we teach them to read
mm-hmm.
because we want them to do well in grade school, because we want them to be able to do well in high school and then maybe go to a good college and have a good job. And it all starts when they're in grade school. We know what we do with their very malleable, changeable minds then could have impact on their entire life.
Yes.
It's the same way with our relationships with people. When we care for somebody today, that plants seeds in our heart that will ripen in a future in which the world is caring for us. So the most important thing I can say to people is everything you think, everything you do is a wish for your world. And that's what a super yogi really knows.
Hmm. That's pretty interesting. Let's get into the story part because you've embodied a lot of very deep and very ancient spiritual principles in these superheroes, the Absolutely gorgeous women and the very handsome surfer dude looking like a surfer dude. And I love the cover. She looks a little like Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the story.
One of the things I wanted to do was it's so important that the story starts with ordinary people. And these ordinary people, because of challenges in their world, and because of their hearts, because they really want to protect other people from suffering.
Right.
Because they're really willing to put other people first, have to undergo incredible transformations of heart and mind, which allow them to increase their abilities to become extraordinary beings with superpower abilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've both been down. I mean, the two main ones I'm thinking of, our hero, Eric, and I'm thinking of Arielle. She was kind of egocentric in a way and really driven when they met, right? Well, so that she wasn't already just like imbued with that consciousness, although she was doing yoga, right?
I think we have to acknowledge we all have tendencies and energies within ourselves.
Like ambitions, right?
We do, you know, and we do have days where we're able to get ourselves out of the way and care for people. And then we have other days when we have these kind of egocentric me attacks,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we're just worried about, well, what about me? What about me? And that's kind of a villainous energy. And so
but sometimes you have to do that in order to get through college or to get through the next thing, right?
I think you'll have more success you'll find in life, no matter what your situation, if you care for the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to say, I need to get training so I can care for more people. It's okay to say, I need to rest now so I can care for more people. But I think you'll find you'll have much more success when your focus is constantly on how can I care for the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the characters in the Super Yogi scenario, they have a lot of dimensions to them because they do have that inner conflict and they're having to work through their issues. And so
they also have to know what the issues are, don't they? They have to be able to do inner reflection, which is very kind of the Tibetan psychology anyway, isn't it?
Well, it's a big advantage on meditating because you can really see, you can't hide from your motivations in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something, a big thing that I found out when I undertook a 3-year meditation retreat.
Yeah, what was that like in the middle? Did you have like grueling self-awareness things, eurekas, and like, oh my gosh, am I like that? Or,
you know, from doing long meditation retreats, that's where the metaphor of superheroes really came about. Because when you're starting to meditate, your mind is kind of a grimy place. You know, it's a lot like Gotham, and there's a lot of punching and kicking between the Batman and the Joker.
Talking behind its back.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the Joker has 100 tricks to get you off your meditation object.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you get a little further in meditation, you start to become more like Superman, where it's like you have incredible strength and compassion, and you can just kind of look at Lex Luthor and be like, you're just doing your selfish thing again. You're not going to win. But you can get wiped out if you have any anger or resentment in your heart.
Hmm.
That's like kryptonite. So if you have...
But James, we all do. We all have those things, do we not?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an opportunity.
Right.
You know, through sincere spiritual practice and through sincere techniques, mm-hmm. proven techniques, we learn how to forgive. We learn how to let go of any resentments that we're carrying. And what I can say honestly to people is when you have peace of mind, when you have love in your heart for everyone, no matter how they treat you, that is the greatest treasure that you'll ever experience. You can tap into it at any time, no matter what your external circumstances are.
Is that how you create my refer back to having brought up the part that talked about your good deeds create a map?
Well, that is that deep wisdom, that cause and effect. So what you do is first you need to gain this wisdom, mm-hmm. which is that the world isn't out there coming at me. The world is coming from me, mm-hmm. and specifically how I treat others. And you can do this just as easily as that little thought experiment that we did where you saw that not everybody sees somebody that you love the same way.
Right.
There's hundreds of tests and proofs. And as I teach meditation, I teach people how to see these things for themselves. But once you see that, you start to understand the link between cause and effect. Mm-hmm. And so when you do a good deed for somebody, when you care for somebody, you just map that. You just dedicate that. I want to see a world in which more people are taken care of.
Okay.
And it's a powerful seed because it's done with wisdom. It's not just that you did the deed. You did it with wisdom, knowing that it was going to create beautiful changes in your world.
Okay, so let's jump into physique, your villainous. You know, have we all got a villainous people on our journey that are villainous, and that's a part of the game?
You know, physique's story is that she, in this book, she was a yogi.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really interested in there being peace on the planet. Like, she's really fed up with the continual cycle of violence and the continual wars. And so her guru is introducing yoga to Pakistan, who she's very close to try to introduce peace into the region. And unfortunately, he is killed, and he's killed by a... basically being a mistaken target of a predator drone.
Mm-hmm.
And this so infuriates her that she kind of snaps and she decides that certain governments on the planet are not going to stop the cycle of violence until they understand how bad it feels. So she gets twisted and she decides that she needs to show them how bad it feels.
Mm-hmm. Big job.
It's a big job. And she has this unique ability, which is called garima or lagima in
Lagima?
Sanskrit.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It means to be able to make one's density infinitely heavy or infinitely light. And suddenly you have this person who the physical laws of the universe don't really apply to.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the start of the book, she increases her density on a passenger plane and destroys a plane. And later she'll destroy other things as well on this sort of vengeful mission that she thinks in her mind is going to somehow lead to peace. Eric Adams is a former Navy SEAL who was badly wounded in Afghanistan, and he's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and like many of our vets, is being introduced to yoga and meditation in the VA hospitals. Being a Navy SEAL, he gets quite intense about his meditation, and he starts to realize this profound connection between his own mind and how he experiences the world. And he starts to break down the walls between himself and others and gains this ability to read other people's minds. There's a verse in the Yoga Sutra, chapter 3, verse 19, with the necessary cause, one can read the minds of others. And so basically, he understands that what she's doing is wrong, that it won't lead to the result that she wants to lead. And so he wants to stop her for her own good and also before other people get hurt.
So even though he wants to stop her, he has that heart and compassion in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You still, even with people that are the most twisted and difficult in the world.
And bitter, yeah.
Eventually you see that they're still a part of your mind and that you just have to stop those actions yourself. Then you're in a better position to help them to stop. And there's, a beautiful verse in the Yoga Sutra. If you make it a way of life never to hurt others, then in your presence, all comes to an end.
Hmm.
And so he understands this wisdom, and he's going to be tested throughout the book. How is he going to bring her down compassionately?
The dialogue is really, really enjoyable, I want to say to everybody. And the dialogue is written so that you really know how he's challenged inside as he's trying to approach Ariel, for example, with a more compassionate approach or a service approach. And you can feel that. I like that, where you can actually feel the discussion he might be having inside of himself or the pressure, you know. I like that. It makes him human, or it makes him, you can relate to him.
It's so important. You know, like, I know people's time is so, so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people are reading very few books
mm-hmm.
Nowadays. But when you have a story that can really show you what you have to do to become more of a hero in your world, I think that's an exciting read.
And I do too.
The characters are very layered. They're very complex. And it's an exciting read. So I'd really encourage people to check it out for themselves.
But there's a lot of wonderful, there's a sutra that you've quoted in there. There's a lot of wonderful space in these people, if you know what I mean. They're not just like densified. And and I like that a lot, because you can meditatively get into their drama and their character with some, I don't know, space is what I want to call it. You've been studying quantum physics too, haven't you?
I have.
Because the section about electrons, is it about electrons? The section about time and keeping track of time, and is time an illusion? Do you want to talk about that? Because I think there was space in that too. There was something about it that's very understandable. And I know a lot of people appreciate those pieces of information that are put in with some zest and some value, you know?
What we have to understand is the truth will be the truth, no matter what the method of investigation is. So the things that you see in meditation, they should be completely compatible with what science is finding out. And so the main wisdom that we talked about with the Yoga Sutra mm-hmm. is that there is a dependence, an interdependence, between your mind and how you experience the world. Well, this is the same thing. This is the punchline of quantum physics. Quantum physics has realized that there is no objective reality. It is always based on perspective. And the classic example in quantum physics is that every atom, every particle in the universe experiences this phenomena of what they call wave particle duality.
Right.
meaning, if you measure something as a wave, like a ripple on a pond, an energetic potential that can be everywhere, it performs like a wave. And if you measure it as a particle, it behaves like a particle. And science is like, those are two completely different things. And then it realized it's not anything until you observe it.
Hmm.
And we've been giving Nobel Prizes away for that perspective since the early 1920s. But everything in the universe is just like that wave-particle duality. If you have selfish seeds in your heart, you will see the world as selfish. If you have seeds of compassion and love for everyone, you'll experience that kind of world.
Well, what if you have both?
You experience both. And that is pretty much what most people's experience of the world is, this up and down experience, this up and down experience. And so through simple cause and effect, you can learn how to transform your experience of the world into one that's incredibly positive.
So jump back to the word seeds you used.
Seeds is a nice translation of the Sanskrit word sanskaras.
Okay.
And it's like the real meaning of karma is this. Every time you do something, say something, think something, you have a little recorder in your consciousness that remembers you doing it. Hmm. It's like an energetic potential. It's a seed that's planted in your mind. That seed takes time to ripen. And when it ripens in your experience.
Is that karma?
That is karma.
Okay.
The connection of cause and effect. And so we only have to know what farmers know. You know, if you don't plant good seeds, well, first off, whatever type of seed you plant, you're going to harvest. So if you're planting good seeds, you're going to get good results. Bad seeds, bad results.
But you might have planted bad seeds well below or well beyond the memory of this life, right?
It's true. Mm-hmm. You know, they say seeds ripen in this life, the next life, or the life after that.
Hmm.
But when you gain the wisdom of how you're cultivating your seeds, things ripen faster. So it's another real benefit.
Well, I've been told recently that our karmic seeds, as we'll call them, because I like that, you can step out of it these days more than ever before. What do you think of that?
Well, it's discussed in the fourth chapter of the Yoga Sutra.
Okay.
When you have sufficient wisdom about the connection between cause and effect, you start to gain an ability to have more influence over what seeds ripen and what seeds you can let go.
Oh, and you can perceive it when it sort of nudges or begins to nudge?
Absolutely. In deep states of meditation, you start to see how your mind is almost like...
Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's almost like computer code, mm-hmm. ripening, bubbling to the surface like a phone ring. You know,
perfect timing, wasn't it?
Yeah. So you can catch that and start to have more control over it. And that's the thing. That's the real source of power. When you can understand how you are responsible for creating your future world, then you found a source of incredible power.
Well, and that is back to creating our reality, which a lot of us have been working on for probably 50 years. I don't know. That's a very simple way of creating one's reality in a way, or simplistically put, or simplistically said, right?
Sometimes simple is best.
No, it should be. I think that spiritual truths should be simple, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise.
And the thing is that this wisdom has been spoken continually by the great enlightened beings that have come to this planet. You know,
so thousands of years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you see Jesus teaching cause and effect. You know, Jesus is like, you can't get figs from thorns.
He was practical.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful teaching. You know, good seeds create good results. Bad seeds, bad results. Always. You can't get figs from thorns.
And he never did say, I'm the one. He said, these and more shall you do in the name of the Father. But I'm just here to show you, basically. Isn't that what he said?
He said many beautiful things. And I think, you know, there's just a beautiful, beautiful teachings for us to emulate. And in the super yogi scenario, I have one character who's a Benedictine priest.
Okay.
Who so connects with Jesus's teachings and so understands the wisdom of those teachings that he starts to gain powers similar to Jesus. And so his name is Father Agua, and he has this incredible ability to bend water and do miraculous things with water.
Mm.
But he understands these relationships between cause and effect.
And why do some people understand them? This is a simple question as well, James.
What they say is you don't get the keys to the universe until you're really willing to use it to serve others.
Okay.
And so, you know, one of the things I do a lot of coaching with people through gobeyond.org, where we do everything by donation.
Oh, good.
We teach people how to meditate from authentic scriptural sources. There's free meditation modules. There's free video teachings. But some people want a little bit more personal attention to try to work through their issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things that we teach people usually is a practice called exchanging self and others. It's Dakshem Namje in Tibetan. And it's this beautiful practice of learning how to get your small self out of the way so you can actually really connect with people and see what they really need. And then you stand in their shoes and you try to get it for them. When you become somebody who can do that, has a habit of mind to do that for the people they come across, then the deeper wisdom of cause and effect and where reality comes from starts to reveal itself.
Hmm.
It's its own beautiful chain of cause and effect.
That's a Tonglen, is it?
Tonglen is a practice that's similar to that. This particular practice, Tonglen means taking and giving. You're taking somebody's pain away and you're giving them happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular practice in Tibetan is called Dakshem Namje.
Okay.
And it was the main practice of a great Buddhist saint, Master Shantideva, who wrote the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life in the 9th century.
Oh, wow.
And I use a lot of his teachings in the Super Yogi scenario.
Hmm. I just feel that it's so full of teachings. It's just wonderful. It's really a relief, you know. The other thing about superpowers, or you have a lot in the characters where there has to be a lot of healing, physical, mental, emotional healing. And I really love how you explain that. And that throws me back on some great saints and mystics like Jesus and so on about how they did healing. And I think it's right all through this book.
It's a beautiful theme. We all have things that we have to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
We all have things that are holding us back from being the type of person that we want to be. And the more that we can grow in wisdom, and more that we can understand that you don't have to hold on to things, you're not one way. You're just programmed cause and effect. We can get into the code, we can start to change our code, and be who we want to be and make the world a better place.
So is that like detaching from what comes up in you and your the nature of your ego or that sort of thing?
It's a wonderful thing to not need to be pushed around by your thoughts anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm not always capable. Sometimes I am, actually.
And it's a beautiful thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that comes from meditation.
Well, one of the things that I really love is learning to look at my identity, not just my own, but clients and so on, really look at it and then drop it. And
yes.
You have some versions of that there, which I really enjoy. It's like your identity that's hooked into being this way or that way, or what is success and all that. You have a wonderful way of having your characters go through some version of that.
Well, this gets to, you know, how is an ordinary being? If you conceive yourself as an ordinary being,
mm-hmm.
how are you ever going to take on extraordinary qualities?
That's right.
And so they have to go through this process of understanding that that small self is a fabrication, a mental image, a story that they keep habitually buying into. And they learn how to break down that that small self doesn't have to be there.
Right.
I could envision myself in a different way. I could act in a different way. I could plant seeds in a different way. And that's what ripens in them able to become superheroes. And that's a big journey of the super yogi scenario. and one that we can all use in our own lives.
But even if people are very ill, that can help as well, can't it?
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Is sometimes that'll actually take care of illness or physical disabilities.
When somebody can see there was a time in my life that I wasn't sick, and now there's a time in my life where I am sick. But when they can see there's a possibility again, there'll be a time in my life where I won't be sick. They raise the ceiling, their belief level, on what is possible.
I think that's wonderful. I want to use the example in the book. I don't want to give away the whole book, but you already said he was disabled because of a war injury. And then later, when he's working with someone who is disabled because of a violence injury, he goes into a flashback and then he picks up an awareness of his the devastation of his injury. And that's to what help her. Can you explain it to people? Because it made such incredible sense to me that he would have to put that energy up in his awareness so that he could connect with her injury. Is that right?
Yes. The story of Eric Adams sort of transforming from being a Navy SEAL to a super yogi, I think, is a beautiful story.
Oh, it is beautiful. I love it.
And the things that he has to go through. I mean, real struggles to go through. But he was caught in a very violent blast in Afghanistan, and it did partially sever his spinal cord, and he was in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And at one point in the teachings, he meets a Buddhist Lama who says, you know, since your body is showing you that you can't act anymore in the external world the way you used to, maybe you need to take this as an opportunity to look inward. And your journey is going to be more inward now. And then to help him to not be stuck in just thinking about himself, his Lama encourages him to help other veterans in the VA hospitals who are injured like himself, and to rejoice every time they have sort of a incredible leap forward where somebody learns to walk again, somebody has an operation that heals them. Start planting these seeds in his mind that it's possible for him to transform. And eventually, without giving away all the details, he learns how to see that it's possible that he can get out of this wheelchair again. And he goes, eventually, with his concentration being so firm on that mental image, he's actually able to heal himself and walk again and realize that he may have this ability to do this for other people as well. It's a beautiful story.
It is a beautiful story. I was just thinking about how Christine Northrup, who's a pretty famous doctor, was saying, somebody quoted to me the other day that she said, when you think you're aging, talk about how young you are, because your body listens to you. Your inner will listen to you. Your circulation system will listen to you. And it's kind of a version of that, isn't it?
It is. And you know, one of the things I love to do is I like to take sort of the wisdom that's emerging among people now and go look back over the last 25 centuries. You know, when I was in retreat for 3 years, I didn't have any access to the internet. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have any news from the outside world.
No cell phone?
No cell phone. Yeah. All I had was these incredible meditation texts from the last 25 centuries. And so there was a beautiful piece of wisdom that discusses, well, where do the karmic seeds stay? They stay in your subject state of mind. They stay in your conception of yourself. So when you think of how you're young, your seeds for youth ripen. Extraordinary.
I see what you mean. Your seeds for youth. So then that could that actually, that makes sense to me somehow. I go, well, that could actually bypass karmic seeds, could it not?
Well, it's still a karmic seed and it's still ripening. It's just that we have so many potentialities for so many things within our mind. The question is, what's going to ripen now? And
And we
so
can choose that.
we're not necessarily in control of the process. I don't want to represent that. It takes a lot of wisdom. But you create the what they call circumstances for certain seeds to better ripen. And basically, anytime your mind is conceiving of yourself in a negative way, you're just inviting your negative seeds to keep firing off.
Oh. Oh dear, hey?
Yeah,
Oh
exactly.
dear.
It is, it is. It's wonderful to start to test these things for yourself and start to see how much it's so important to stay in a positive frame of mind. And I can't imagine going out into the world without meditating for at least 15 to 20 minutes every morning, because your mind's just going to be a fire hazard otherwise.
That's true. So let's talk a minute about, I started to bring up the thing about time, about stepping out of time. But, when we're talking about the seeds and we're talking about referring to ourselves as youthful, that sort of thing, I go, well, what about past and future? Can we go back and change the past? Can we step out of time in such a way, or how do you perceive past and future and past lives and future lives?
Well, let's test it for a second.
Okay, I'm ready.
When you think of something that happened to you in the past,
Right.
when are you doing it?
Now.
In the now. So we can say that the past isn't really here except as a thought and a label
Yes.
in the present.
But isn't it kind of seeds too?
It is. And we've all had this experience of remembering something from our childhood and remembering how big that hill was in our backyard, that we used to sled down this giant hill.
And it's
And then we,
puny later.
yeah, and then
I
later it's just different. And
know.
so what you see is that even the past is changeable. And so, we have all had experiences in our life where at the time we say, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me. And then we find out that it pushed our life in a different direction. And then we
And it
look at,
changed our identity, that the identity that we were attached to, right?
And then we look at it again and we're like, you know what? That was the best thing that happened to me.
Yeah,
So the
that's good.
past is not fixed, it is infinitely changeable. Because our minds change, our perspective change, the interdependence between present and a past memory changes. And that wisdom allows you to start to transform a lot of negativities, a lot of negative events that we're holding on to. And that helps you to put your life in a better trajectory. So that wisdom of understanding that the past is not fixed is
Well,
quite
actually, it's
helpful.
like if we're confined in a kind of a whole assortment of beliefs that create our identity, it really puts a lot of space in there, doesn't it? And we get to drop all those beliefs off. Isn't that what happens in the meditation world?
I love what you're saying, Veronica, and that's precisely the case.
So we're infinitely powerful, aren't we?
Absolutely. We are unlimited potential. And if we put certain causes in our hearts, we're going to get certain results. And there's no limit to what any of us can do.
So is this your first book? Is this your only book?
This is my first fiction novel. The Super Yogi Scenario is my first fiction novel. Many years ago, I owned an advertising agency for 14 years in New York.
Oh, wow, good for you.
And I had the opportunity to sell my business. I gave most of the money away to charities, but I wanted to write everything down that I knew about marketing in a book called The Perfection of Marketing and close that chapter on my life and then go into 3-year retreat.
And so it's perfection if marketing is out there?
It is, it is. It's still selling, you know. But
is it loaded with these wonderful wisdoms that you're sharing with us?
It is. It's interesting. It's based on, you know, I remember several reviewers calling it Marketing Book of the Year back in 2009.
Wow.
And it's still selling because it's all based on this wisdom of standing in your customer's shoes and speaking to them as they want to be spoken to.
I'm going to order this book because that's so heartening.
Yeah.
Were you successful? Like, let me put it this way. It is very possible for us to be successful on the planet financially whilst maintaining a consciousness in such a way, is it not?
It is. And I have to say, you know, I owned a business in New York for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I did make a lot of money.
Oh, good.
And I was happy. And every day I would meditate on what do my employees need? And so I could think about the people at work that I was going to see and just think about what would make their life better. And I could think about what are the clients I'm going to see today? What do they need? And I found that I was able to solve problems so much faster and often before they would even appear.
Did you have a guru then or a teacher?
I absolutely did. I've studied with four major lamas.
Okay.
And so, you know, during the day, I was like a busy New York CEO. And at night, I'd go to the monastery and study. On weekends, I would go on retreats. And, you know, I did that for 10 years. And it was really during that time period that the idea started to really percolate in my mind, which was, you know, you're really happy and your mind is getting clearer and clearer. How far could you take this if you devoted yourself to the path of meditation? And really wanting to know that answer was the thing that said, okay, are you willing to give this all up in order to find out that answer? And so what I can tell people is if you have a dream, every day work towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really know that that's what you want to do, have the courage to take the leap.
Wow, that's a great way to end this. And tell us the name of your meditation support website.
It's gobeyond.org.
Gobeyond.org. And I really recommend people read Super Yogi Scenario, a novel. But also, tell the name of your marketing book again. I think that's really worth paying attention to as well.
And the marketing book is The Perfection of Marketing.
Well, you're very inspiring, James. I thank you for your great work.
It's just been a pleasure to talk to you today, Veronica.
And to you. And thank you so much. Well, hopefully we can talk again. Get another book done.
I will.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you.